Really?
Hi, have... yes, my mic is working. I'm simping for Amelia right now. What's up?
Do you have, are you recording in Adobe?
Yeah, yes, I'm recording in Adobe. Yes, I know how to do it. Shut up. Can you talk into your mic, please?
Hello, homies. Is this showing up on the machine?
Yes, it is showing up on the machine.
Wow, you look very loud.
You can already hear me. You know that I'm here.
Yes, I know that you're here. Shut up.
It was very loud.
It was very loud and you blew out my eardrums. Look, how do I turn the volume down with this?
On the red things? Oh, are you turning down your...
Like here. Is it this? Headphones. Hello? 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 Yep, okay.
Awesome.
Much better. I'm going to get my fucking eardrum blown out. God. Okay. So, hi, Amelia. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. do you just want
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Do you want to get started with just...
I think we should just do it as live.
As live, yep.
And just be like, thanks for coming into the studio this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just play it.
Okay, cool.
So it's like press play and
yep,
we don't
awesome.
Yep.
That way I have minimum editing to do.
Yep. All right. So you get started on your poem.
Well, let's start with a start. And then I'll ask, do you have a poem?
Okay, cool.
Yeah?
Okay. Do you want me to...
Okay, so 3, 2, 1.
Thanks, Amelia, for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Look, to get us started, you are a poet.
Yes, I am.
You performed at the National Poetry thing last year.
Yes.
Would you like to read us a poem, please?
Absolutely. So this one is called The Body on Trial. Mine is not a body for your billboards. I'm not a walking advertisement to make better life choices lest you end up with a messed up body like mine because you can't look outside the body. You draw us like stick figures and write our stories and tragedies and soliloquies on Made for Teens TV. I am not an afternoon special episode. You can't write me out after the credits. I am too many. I am a 20% death rate on the pediatric ward, senior citizen in the dire aisle trying to find a soup under 100 calories. Mine is not a body you can copy and paste, not a warning to young girls while a man pushes food around his plate. This is severe and enduring. This is full recovery. This is an illness put in a box that says straight white female. This is binge eating disorder or bulimia or all the other ones you can't glam up with a feeding tube and a camera crew. Blame PTSD, not Barbie. Call me when you don't want to write about my calorie intake or past mistakes or if I'm still at a low weight. Mine is not a body that speaks for everyone, but you can tell the stories of everyone. So no one else slips through wide gaps, so no one else has to fight GPs and families for the help that they deserve, because we all deserve.
As they do, clicking for all the poets.
Clicking for the poets.
Yes, that was amazing.
Thank you. Well done.
I love seeing you perform ever since I saw you perform for the first time the other night. So how did you get into slam poetry the first time around?
So when I first started learning about poetry, I was in year 11 in high school and my English teacher made us do a course on slam poetry, which I had never heard of before. And as part of the course, we all had to write our own slam poem. So I did one about my great uncle who passed away a long time ago. And I wrote the poem and I didn't think it was very good, but, you know, I handed it up. And a couple weeks later, I got a message that was given to me at school in a big envelope saying, congratulations, you've won a prize at the Spring Poetry Festival for students. And I said, oh, I don't remember submitting my poem to this, and it turns out my English teacher had submitted it for me. And I turned up and it turned out I won first prize at the poetry festival. So I was very excited and kind of a little bit like, oh, how did I get here? And the judge who had judged my poem said, oh, well, we think you're really good and you should start coming along to these poetry meetings and, you know, get more into it. And it all kind of just went from there.
Mm.
That's quite an interesting origin story. Something that I was thinking about is how, I have these anthologies of poems, like Shakespeare's sonnets and all kinds of stuff, and they're just, like, dusty books.
Very old school.
Very old school. But there's a whole performance aspect to, like, poetry is obviously a spoken word thing. I guess you're fine with it because you went along. Was there like a performance aspect or did you just win from the written poet?
So I won from the written word, but mine was a poem that was written to be performed. I think there is quite a big difference between when you're writing to be read versus when you're writing to be performed. And I think what sort of drew me in with slam poetry was that it was easy to understand. I think when I first read a lot of poetry in high school, you know, you read a lot of Shakespeare and lots of old war poems, and a lot of them has language that isn't accessible to young people or even to just some people in general who aren't, you know, huge Shakespeare fans. So when I was writing and found out about slam poetry, it was an opportunity to feel like I can speak to the masses, I can write a poem and everyone's going to come away understanding what it was about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Only the true nerds really get into Shakespeare.
I guess, but your English teacher must have had a sense of how comfortable you would be standing up and performing that.
Yeah. So
like
we...
submitting something without your permission is a sneaky move.
Like every English teacher does.
Well, she submitted everyone in the class. Everyone in the class went in, so, you know, it was done fairly. Not that any of us were told, it was just done. but we had to perform the poem as part of our assessment. I cried while doing mine because I was super nervous and just not very good at public speaking. But, you know, whatever, I still won, and I'm a lot better at public speaking now, so I don't cry on stage anymore.
Unless it's part of the performance.
Unless it's part of the performance, of course.
Well, exactly. So, with all your poems, where does your inspiration come from?
I think that's such an interesting question because it's like, it's really hard to nail down. I think a lot of my work is political. A lot of it deals with mental health. Recently, I've started writing more humorous poems and lighter poems, and I think that's because... especially because it's been a tough year, y'all.
It can't all be COVID.
And also because it's, I've always loved stand-up comedy and that was one of my first loves. So I've always wanted to sort of invoke that in some of my work. So yeah, at the moment I'm writing a lot of sort of lighthearted stuff and a lot of stuff that I think will really, you know, connect with people.
So for your poems, is it the words that come first or is it more of like the themes and the feelings that come first, that then the words come from that?
Definitely the feelings and the themes. You know, you'll be thinking about something all day, like I'll be thinking about something and I'll be on the bus and kind of just thinking, maybe I've had a bad day or something's happened and I'm feeling a certain way. And I'll usually kind of get a phrase or a couple words that will come out and I'll write it down, you know, my notes on my phone, and then I'll kind of come back to it later and expand on that, and it kind of grows into a poem from there. When I was in English class, I was studying The Glass Menagerie, and there's a line in it about one of the characters in the book, and she's described as, oh, she's like glass, you know, she sort of glitters from all angles, but she's very fragile because, you know, glass. And I was like, that's a really interesting way to describe someone. And I kind of wrote something down and then expanded on that. And it became the poem I won with last year at the State Poetry Slam. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
I think there's possibly maybe a bit of a myth in the kind of general population that don't engage with poetry so much that kind of, you have this inspiration and then a poem flows out of you completely formed. But there really is a lot of like drafting and redrafting and testing meter and like figuring out.
Yeah. I would even say it's harder than if you're a prose writer, because I write prose and short stories and it's a lot easier to draft.
You don't have
and
to scan prose.
Yeah. And a lot of the time you'll do a poem, you might do it a few times, then you'll change some lines, maybe you'll cut some bits. A lot of the time you'll get, especially if you memorize a poem, you get on stage and you perform it and you end up sort of ad-libbing a bit because you've forgotten a bit and you just don't want anyone to know. So you're just like, we'll just change some words around.
I'm reading version 3.3, but I'm already up to 4.1.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, yeah.
It's like, oh, yes, I'm here to perform. I have nothing prepared and we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, it's a lot of reading off your phone.
Just so then to go back to Joe's question, Pride and Prejudice is a queer show. How would you think that kind of being queer influences the things that you choose to write about?
I think especially because coming from an all-girls Catholic high school, repressed baby.
Yes, here we go.
kind of gets you feeling kind of ashamed. I came out of high school feeling deeply funny about, you know, being bisexual and talking to people about it. And I think that flows a lot into my poetry, and obviously because queer people are at a greater risk of mental health issues, that flows into my work as well. And recently I've been doing more love poetry, and I've been trying to play around with, you know, switching genders of the person I'm talking to within the poem, mm-hmm. kind of just to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Because it's cool to do that, and it's great to be on a scene that's so accepting, and, you know, we're probably more queer people than not in the poetry scene, which is lovely because you go in and, you know, you always know that you're going to be accepted, and it's nice.
Yeah. Well, that kind of, it got me thinking, because a lot of the time when you study poetry, especially at uni and stuff, teachers will tell you and they go, oh, like, you never have, like, never assume that the author is writing about themselves. Always assume that it's just a speaker, a character, someone else. So when you perform, do you put on like a character or a persona, or does it all really come from you a little bit, or is it just a mixture of both? Like, how, like, what do you do when you get up there and perform your pieces?
I think all my poems are an extension of myself, basically. I put on different hats, but it's all me, and all the poems come from personal experience. I've written 2 or 3 poems I call them character poems. They're written from another character's perspective. I wrote a poem about a boy who steals his father's car, drives off into the Adelaide Hills, ditches the car, and then disappears into the woods. It was kind of very random. But most of my work is, yeah, very much just an extension of myself. And sometimes, especially when I'm writing sort of poems that incorporate a lot of black humor, it's just really me being very sarcastic and kind of putting on this kind of very hyped up version of myself. Yeah.
Maybe just to wrap up now, I guess the heat season for Poetry Slam is over. But maybe if people were thinking about next year, or are there other things going on throughout the year, how would you recommend that listeners who might be interested in getting involved go about that?
I think the best...
We don't all have 4-year 11 English teachers.
Teachers, yes, that's
well,
true.
Well, if you're depressed, queer, and like books as a child, then yes, you have a weird relationship with an English teacher.
I think the best way to get into slam poetry, or at least what I found, was going to gigs. So if you go to the Adelaide Gig Guide on Facebook, which is the Adelaide Poetry Gig Guide, my apologies, it has all the poetry events that are on in the area. My personal favourite is Spoken Slurred. It's on the last Sunday of every month at the Broadcast Bar. It's a really fun event where basically it's open mic. You can drink as much as you want. the bar is great. But you can go up and it's an opportunity to perform and cut your teeth. And I feel like, especially since, you know, we've probably got another, you know, couple months before we get back into competitive slams, because there are a few around, it's really, really good to go to as many just open mics as possible, meet as many new people as possible. The Adelaide scene is huge. Everyone knows everyone. You meet one person, you're going to meet 5 of their friends. And the more connections you make and the sort of more talk that comes about you on the scene leads to you booking gigs, leads to you entering competitions. Competition wins can be a stepping stone to, you know, paid gigs or doing workshops. So it's, yeah, you really have to get out there and just kind of do it over and over and over again and listen to other poets and kind of get an idea of the different styles you can perform in. Yeah.
It's good to know that there are paid gigs out there. I think every artist is their ears prick up. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Money? Paid gigs?
Money. Yes,
wait, I can
money.
Enter a competition for money?
Yes, there is money in slam poetry. Surprise. I didn't expect it either.
Press X for doubt. There's no money in poetry. God. Well, thanks for coming in, Amelia. We appreciate
you
reading for us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been pretty fun.